We open our Bibles together in the book of Philippians and the chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, we read the scriptures together, commencing to read God's precious word. And we pray that God will bless his word to our hearts. Verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to handle thy word, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou will help me this day to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray that our God, that thou will continue to bless thy word to our hearts. And may we leave the house of the Lord instructed today and blessed and refreshed within our own souls, knowing that God has spoken to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt lead us, and Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit as we would minister thy precious truth. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. I appreciate the fact that we have been spending some considerable time in this book of Philippians. But I trust that it has been well spent, that God has spoken to our hearts, that God has instructed us even as we've come to learn precious lessons from God's infallible truth. In this fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, we have been learning about some of the problems that were confronting the church and the people of God. And you know, God's people do and are confronted with problems. Life's not just a simple, straightforward journey. It's not an easy road, the hymn writer says. We're traveling to heaven. Many are the thorns on the way. And in our studying of the problems, you'll notice that we noticed there was a problem of defeatism. There were those that had lost the fight. There were those that had lost the spirit to go on. Just everything seemed to be wrong. Nothing seemed to be right. Nothing seemed to be bright anymore. The nose of the child of God was trailing the ground, and their belly was following. My, it just seemed to be they were in the spirit of depression or in the spirit of defeatism. And friends, today that can also sadly be among the people of God. We've looked at that. And we need to get back that fight within our hearts. We need to stand and to have the joy of the Lord and to stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So stand fast in the Lord, verse 1. My dearly beloved. And then the second problem was the problem of disagreement. Because you see, when there comes that negative spirit amongst the people of God, You can nearly be dead on sure what will follow that spirit of defeatism. There will come the spirit of disunity. And God's people, instead of looking at the enemy, they start looking at their friends and even those around them in the family of God. And there comes a disunity that creeps in. And that follows that God's people start finding fault and falling out the one with the other. And the old devil, he looks on, and boy, he rubs his fiendish claws and hands, and my, he's so happy that God's people are at each other, because that's leaving his crowd alone. And there was a third problem, which again follows on. It was the problem of depression, because when that happens, my, whenever there is this defeatism amongst the people of God, and then this disagreement among the people of God, then there is depression. People would get depressed with that. You know, if God's people can be happy with that, there's something wrong. If God's people can be happy with the spirit of defeatism, lost the fight, and if God's people can be happy with disagreement among the people of God, there's something wrong. And so we find there is the spirit of defeatism, where they're cast down and disheartened and dispirited, and they're joyless. That's why we find in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. We need to get our joy back. We need to help such at that particular time. And so it says there in verse number 3, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also. We need to help them. And we need to help God's people if they've got to that place. Now, not only did we find in our study that there were problems, but thank God when you look at the next verses, it speaks not about problems, we move to peace. Verses 4 to 9. And you know, all the previous problems, they rob the child of God of their rightful peace in Christ and their joy in Christ. God's people need to be a rejoicing people. That's why it says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. It says, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In other words, he's only a prayer away. He's at hand. Thank God you can call out on them today. If you're in that spirit that we have been speaking about and facing all of those problems, thank God you can get back your peace and you can get back the joy of the Lord in your heart. He's only a prayer away. The Lord's at hand. Call out on him. Trust him. Believe him. For thank God he will not disappoint you if you call upon the Lord. And then it says there, and it says, be careful for nothing, or overcome by care and anxiety for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's it. There's the answer, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then, of course, instead of this negativity, look at verse number 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and lovely and of good report and pure, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Get your minds on those things. And we have looked at those things, and we've been seeking to ask the Lord to guide us. And we learned this three little thoughts. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful for everything, and be thankful for anything. And so therefore you have it just summed up. Be careful for nothing, be prayerful for everything, and be thankful for anything. Because anything God gives us is from God's good and God's precious hand. Now, having told us what we're not to dwell on, then he tells us what we are to think upon. And what I want to speak this morning, commencing at verse number 10, I want us to speak about the attitude of the child of God, the positive attitude that there ought to be in the child of God, even in the midst of trying circumstances. You see, it's wonderful to have a positive attitude when everything is just rosy in the garden. But you say, but listen, but you don't know my circumstance. I know I don't. Maybe I don't. But I tell you, God knows. God knows all your circumstances. He knows the wherefores and the whys and everything else about your circumstances. And I'll show you that from God's precious word. But no matter what your circumstance is today, and no matter how difficult it is, that is no reason why that you and I should leave our joy and lose our joy and our peace in Christ. There is no reason why we should run about with a chip on our shoulders because everything is not the way that others have it. And it is so easy to have a chip on our shoulders, not in actual fact a chip, because it usually ends up a plank. And we're walking around with that, and my, I can tell you, we're so disgruntled, and we lose the happiness of being in Christ. Now look at verse number 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I want you and me this morning to take into our hearts what the Spirit of God is saying, because we have to see here the importance of having that positive attitude. Now, I want you to remember this, that Paul is in a prison. He's in a time of great difficulty and a great trial and great trouble. And yet what we find here is that he expresses a spirit of gratitude for how the Lord has met all his need, even in the midst of this great trial. Now, having commanded the believers at Philippi to regain the spirit of thanksgiving, and that's what we have looked at, and to regain the spirit of joy, then he gives us testimony. Look at verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. And what I want you to notice here is his cheer. When Paul was among the Philippian believers in person, possibly 10 to 12 years before writing this epistle, the Lord had used the Philippian believers to meet the need of God's servant. In other words, they were good to God's servant. They were gracious and kind. They were a giving people. And Paul looks back and he remembers the expression of the kindness in a very practical way to the servant of the Lord. And you know, their kindness and their thoughtfulness and their giving to meet the needs of God's servant brought God's servant great joy in the Lord. Notice he said, I rejoice in the Lord. But notice how he puts it now in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. You see, not only had he the joy 10, 12 years before whenever they were meeting his need, whenever he was with them. And you know, it is easy for people to look back and say, you know, I was happy in the Lord then. I mean, are you happy in the Lord now? Are you really happy in the Lord now? Or have you lost your joy in the Lord? Friend, if you've lost your joy in the Lord, it's time you got back to the place where you get back to the joy of the Lord, because the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you've lost your joy, I'll tell you, nothing will be right. Nothing will be right. Nothing that anybody will do for you will be right, because you've lost your joy in the Lord. You've lost out with Him. You've lost your fellowship with Him. And you lose your fellowship with the Lord, friend. And I can tell you this, you lose your fellowship with your brethren in the Lord. You lose out with God personally. And I tell you, it's only a step away to losing out with the fellowship among the people of God. You'll lose that joy of being amongst the people of God. Remember what the psalmist said, I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me, it's a joy to go to the house of God. How many this morning, We're absolutely thrilled to jump out of bed and say, hallelujah, it's the Lord's day, it's the Lord's house, I'm going to be among the Lord's people. Or did you come to God's house and say, oh, another Sunday? Because you've lost something of that joy. Now here we find that he says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again. Those 10 years, those 12 years, they have passed. That's history. And they met all his needs at that time. He says, I rejoice greatly. And so he's calling attention to the occasion for his present joy. What was his present joy? It was this, that their care for him had flourished again. Now the word care there describes the act of taking thought. In other words, he knew that these believers, they had an interest in him. They were interested in him, in what he was going through, in the circumstances that he found himself in, what he was doing. And my, it says, it's flourished again. In other words, it's been rekindled. Their thought about him had been rekindled again. It was flourishing again. Now, to say that, it means there's something that's happened in between. What happened in between that he says, your care for me has flourished again? And he says, I rejoice greatly in this. For some reason, I believe it was possibly unknown to Paul at that particular time. It's certainly not given here. There was a reason that they had for a period of time not been meeting the needs of God's servant and not communicating with him. Now there's some reason. And all the Holy Spirit of God says, and look in the end of verse 10, is this, ye lacked opportunity. Doesn't tell us what was the reason why they were not able to communicate with him and look after him and give what they used to give and meet the needs that they used to meet. All it simply says is this, they lacked opportunity. In other words, they lacked the opportunity to minister to his needs. In other words, there was a period of time that they had not been able to give to God's servant or to send to God's servant any financial support to meet his particular need. Now, friend, let me tell you this. Here's God's servant in a time of difficulty. And there was a time when God's people at Philippi had helped and sustained him and met his needs. But now here's a period of time and he's in adversity and he's in difficulties and facing problems. And my, there's nothing coming. What do you think you'd think about? They've forgotten me. My back's against the wall. They've forgotten me. And you know what quickly enters in when you feel that, friend? I'll tell you, bitterness. And people begin to feel bitter. They feel let down. They feel forgotten. And there's nobody cares anymore. Do you remember what the psalmist said? No man cared for my soul. That's how Paul could have felt. Nobody cared for a soul. Friend, there is nothing to suggest in any way, even though their financial support was not coming to God's servant in his time of need, there is nothing to suggest that he got embittered by the experience, because God's servant knew that if he had the opportunity, they would meet his need. In other words, he had always good thoughts. He had always good thoughts about them. Ah, it's so easy to get bad thoughts about people in your head. Maybe you don't know the reason why they can't or why they're not communicating with you. But man, the old devil will always put the old bitter thought into your head. Ha ha! They think nothing about you anymore. You're forsaken. You're forgotten. The Word of God tells us. All the Holy Ghost tells us is this, but ye lacked opportunity. He believed there had to be a reason. He thought good about them. It is so easy to misunderstand. And friend, I can tell you, in the work of God, one of the problems amongst many of the people of God is this, in the unity of the saints, it's misunderstanding saints. People misunderstanding. They're willing to think the worst. Why? Because the devil sows the seed. And I think that kind thought. And I think that there has to be a reason behind that, that there's no communication. It's just that they've forgotten you. They don't care anymore. You feel bitter within. Remember, it's been some time since there's been a communication between the saints of God and Philippi and Paul, because notice how he puts it. He says in verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me is flourished again. After some time. It wasn't an intentional neglect. It wasn't that they didn't care. Their lack of giving had not been because they didn't care. They lacked opportunity. In other words, they wanted to give. They longed to give. They sought for an opportunity to give. But somehow there was no way to communicate with God's servant at that particular time. Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again. The word flourish there means to blossom. It's blossomed again. It means to be revived, to sprout again. Describes the revival of the buds and the blossoms of springtime. And as he thought about the selflessness and the expression of the love of God's people here at Philippi, to him it was something beautiful. It was a sweet smelling fragrance of Christian love unto God. Now, what a blessing it was to God's servant. What an encouragement it was to him. The wonderful thing about God's people was this. The people of Philippi were a giving people. They were an open-hearted people. They were an open-handed people. Because they were willing to give to God's servant in time of need. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, the word communicate there is to participate with someone, to become a companion or a partner with. And what Paul was saying is this, that these people of Philippi were people who took part with his affliction. You sympathized with me, you assisted me in bearing the afflictions, the relief that you sent to me not only supplied my needs, but God used it to supply and sustain me in a time of need. Verse number 15, he goes on to recall. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And when he left Macedonia, recorded in Acts chapter 17, there had been that tumult that was caused by the Jews that were in opposition to Paul. It was necessary for God's servant to go away. He was in a time of great need and affliction. Who was there to sympathize with him? Who was there with a loving hand? Who was there with a caring arm? The believers at Philippi. You see, they had a giving spirit. I think there's a sad statement, however, there in verse 15. It says this, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Where are the other churches? Where were the rest? Thank God for the love of God's sermon. There we see his cheer, but look, secondly, his contentment. It says in verse 11, even though he was in a time of great need and My, there was no way for God's people to communicate with him. He said this, "Not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not bitter about the time that nothing was coming to me. I'm not speaking respect of want," he says, "because I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He's speaking of his state. He's speaking of his circumstances in life. And friend, you read the scriptures and read the Acts of the Apostles and you read what Paul faced. And there were times of great necessity in his journeyings, in his imprisonments. There's times of want. There were times of need. But in those times of need, he said this, "I've learned. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned to bear all this." He didn't sit down on a pity cushion, say, "Poor me, it's not fair." You ever thought that when you're going through trials? "This is all wrong." No, he said this. He said, in the midst of all of this, he says, "I've learned something. I've learned," did you see, "it didn't come naturally, how to be taught it." See, Paul was just like many of the rest of us. He was prone to impatience. Sometimes God just had to set him down and teach him just to be patient. The psalmist said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry." And you know, in life he had learned, in the school he had learned tough experiences. Just for a moment, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I remember one night I was preaching in one of our churches, Gospel Mission. At the end of the meeting, a lady came up to me, and my, she had her fist clenched, and I was sure I was in for it. And she just came up to me, she looked me straight in the eye, and she says, "You preachers make me sick." I thought I would disarm her, this is honest, I thought I would disarm her, sort of, you know, by saying, "Well," says, "Hi, madam, you're going to be sick, would you let me know in time, I'll stand back, so I don't get around my new suit." And she wasn't amused, didn't make her smile any, just seemed to make her more angry. I said, "Well, tell me, why do I make you sick?" Well, she says, "You know, you talk about facing problems and difficulties and all the rest of it, and you should be happy in the Lord in the midst of circumstances. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be with content." She says, "You preachers know nothing about troubles." I felt like saying, "Madam, if you were standing in my shoes and looking at you now, you know exactly I do know something about trouble because I'm in trouble." But you know, some people have got this idea that somehow the preacher's immune. He's somehow different. God inoculated him. He can take all the knocks. He can take all the kicks. People just can say whatever they like to him, and he's, you know, he has no feelings. Might surprise you, he has feelings just like the rest of you. Sheds his tears the same as the rest of you. He knows what it is to be kicked the same as the rest of you. Knows what it is to be hurt by sayings of people. Misunderstanding of people too, just as Paul did. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 26. He says, "In journeyings often." Or verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily." Speaking now about the burden of the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Yes, friend. He says, in the midst of all of this, he said, "I learned something. You know, God taught me a lesson." And he said, "I learned something, an invaluable learning. Because I was taught a lesson that I've never forgot. He would need to use those experiences in his life that he was taught. And the learning that he received, he'd have to use it again and again. He had plenty of time to reflect. You know what he found out? He found God's grace in the midst of all of that night. For my grace is sufficient for thee. You see, Paul's sufficiency and Paul's satisfaction was in the Lord. Harry Ironside one day told of a believer who was asked by another believer how he was getting on. And Aaron said, the second believer said, very dolefully, he said, "Oh, brother, fairly well under the circumstances." The first believer looked at him. He says, "Oh, brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." He says, "I'm sorry you're living under the circumstances, because the Lord would have you to live above the circumstances." Are you under the circumstances today? Is that where you're living? Under them? Burdened down? Lost your joy, happiness? You know, God wants you to live above your circumstances. God wants you to live in victory. You know, he says this, just in case you think that to live above your circumstances is easy whenever there's Paul's circumstance. Look at verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased, where there is to be made low. I know what it is to be made low. I know what it is to be humbled. I know what it is to run on low. Do you remember Elijah by the brook? And God fed him there by the brook, and God gave him water by the brook. And then he watched the brook, and the brook was running low. Until one day, friend, the brook dried up. He says, "I've been there." I'm not talking about some airy-fairy thing. I've been there. I have been abased. I have been on low. Listen, where was Paul, friend? He's not in the palace. He's in the prison. There's no servants attending Paul here. They're soldiers that are watching his every move. Yes, I know what it is to be in circumstances of want. But, friend, he doesn't want your pity, because he says, "Listen, I also know how it is to abound. Don't forget the blessings." And brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ this morning, may God forgive you if you're blaming God for because you're running low, because the brook's drying up, and forgetting all the blessings when you sat like Elijah by the brook and he fed you there and he watered you there and you've forgotten all about it. All you remember now is the dry brook. That's all you remember. As if God never looked after you all those years. God never gave you anything. Let me tell you, Paul says, "I know both how to abase," but he says, "I also know how to abound. I know not only how it is to run low," he says, "I know what it is to have plenty. When God to meet all my need, to have an abundance of supply." Just remember who Paul was, friend. Just remember Paul's upbringing. For Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was brought up to sit as a young man under the tuition of Gamaliel. In other words, he had an honored education. And as a Pharisee, he knew prestige and he knew what it was to have pomp and pride as well. "Yes, I know what it is to be there," says Paul. Friend, and so do you. Because I want to tell you, friend, there's people lying in boxes and you lay in a bed last night. There's people who have never known what it is to have a meal at a table. And you were fed yesterday. But maybe you haven't what others have. And you're not content. Paul said, I've learned this. In whatsoever state I am, to with content. Now, I've given you this here as we draw it to a close. Listen, he said this. Look at verse 12. Everywhere and in all things, he says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. So he talks about his learning. Now he says about his instruction. He says, in all my experiences, I have been instructed. Now, the word here was a technical expression used by the pagan mystic cults in the initiation of their adherents. What Paul's saying is this. God has initiated the circumstances of my life. God. Now, he's not blaming God for it. There's not a complaint here. And he's lying in prison, and there's no servants, there's soldiers. And he's suffering need. And there'd been many times that there was no one communicating with him or being with him or carrying the burden with him. He felt, humanly speaking, there was no one around. And even those that had come, they had forsaken him and fled. But God had appointed, that's what he's saying. God has appointed and God has arranged all the circumstances of my life, whether it's when I'm being abased or whether it's I'm abounding. There's no accidents with God, friend. There's appointments. And for you as a child of God, what Paul is saying is this, listen. God has arranged the pattern. God is woving the sequins, the garment of life, the circumstances of life. And God is using them to mold me and to make me. He knew God had initiated all that life had sent him. And he was content. Because in everything, he could see God. And that's not easy when you're down in the valley. That's not easy when you're facing hard circumstances. But he had been initiated in the lessons taught by trials as well as prosperity. And he had accepted all that God sent as a part of God's work in his life, as part of God's will for his life. And friend, that was the secret of his contentment. He was in the hands of God. Days of abundance or days of great reverses. Reduced to want. Rapid change in his life. He says, I'm content. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Can I ask you a question this morning? Honestly. Are you a contented Christian? Are you happy with a lot that God has given you? Or are you crying out to have his lot? Or her lot? Rather than the one that God's appointed. You say, how could I be happy? Listen, I can tell you, friend, God has got to teach you that lesson. And of God's teaching. We sang a hymn before I preached this morning. We sang this hymn. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter. I'm just the clay. Did you mean it? Did you really mean that when you sang it this morning? May God give us the contentment of knowing God is in control. My God. My God. Oh, that you have a personal knowledge of him. Oh, that you love him. Oh, that you're trusting him today. And if there's someone here this morning and you're not trusting in the Lord, then I beg you in God's name, there's no one more you need than the Lord. May God give you grace to come to him. And as you go through those doors, child of God, ask God, Lord, make me content. Whether I be abased, whether I abound, Lord, have thee, the unchanging God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering round thy book this morning. Thank you for the privilege of ministering thy word. And I pray, Lord, that as I go from thy house and as thy people go from thy house, Lord, that thou will mold us afresh and make us according to thy will. Help us to be satisfied. Help us to be willing to learn. Help us to be willing to be instructed. No matter the circumstances, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. In Jesus' name.